God. I heard something a man said on the radio the other day. It was a quote from an old writer, and it really got my spirit stirred up. And I'll give you a little bit more thoughts on what he said in just a moment. But in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, Paul is writing right here to a young preacher about the times of apostasy or a great falling away in the last days. And we clearly understand that we are in the last days, in the day and hour that we live today. And so he says this, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent or no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Sound like our day and hour, don't it? "Traitors, heady, high-minded." Here's what I want to look at tonight. "Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Heard an old man that passed away many, many years ago. He said that the generation that was coming on had no joy. And so they are running to and fro looking for pleasure, looking for happiness, something to make them content. And there's a joy that only God can give. That joy comes from Jesus, knowing Him. And so that's what I want to look at tonight. And we know, if you look at the Bible, you'll find that the word joy or reference to joy is over 200 times mentioned in the Word of God. You'll find in your Bible that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So without the Spirit of God living and indwelling a person, they really don't know any kind of joy. Joy doesn't come from things. Joy doesn't come from happenings. Joy comes from a rebirth. Joy comes from knowing that our Lord died and was buried, and on the third day He was resurrected to give us a chance at life, to be rebirthed, to be restored. And all these things that center around the Lord Jesus Christ and His relationship to you and I, we can have joy as we go through this life in these last days. But I'm afraid that if you look in Revelation chapter number 3, this Laodicean church age, the Bible says that the people's mindset is that they have need of nothing. We're rich, we're increased in goods, and we have need of nothing. But Jesus said that this generation knows not that they're wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, naked. Think about these things now. Joy. Peter says there's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And amazing thing that just before Peter wrote about this joy unspeakable and full of glory, he wrote about trials and troubles and going through the fiery things this old world can put you through. But knowing that we've been born again, knowing that this world is not our home, we're just passing through, we're just a pilgrim and a stranger heading for the city whose builder and maker is God. We can have joy unspeakable and full of glory no matter what circumstances we're going through in life. But I'm afraid, according to this last church age that we're in, There's many people that's lost their joy because they've lost their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They have need of nothing. Need of nothing. Many Christians are people that profess to be Christians or walk in the doors of a church, and their mind is out yonder in the world somewhere. What they going to do this evening or what they going to do tomorrow. And their mind's not focused upon worship. Their mind's not focused upon the blessings of God and the things of God. It's not focused upon a lost and dying world. Not focused upon the fact that we're in the last days, the Lord Jesus could come at any time. Joy. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Man, I'm telling you, we live in a day, we live in a day when most Christians find it a burden to come to church. A burden to come to church. But God is interested in His people being happy. Happy. Because of joy that nothing can take away. Now there is an emotion that's called happiness that can leave you. But there is a thing called the joy of the Lord. The Bible says it is our strength. When we go through the storms of life and through the struggles of life, we can have the joy of the Lord and it'll carry us through. You ever been in that kind of situation? I remember, never will forget, a pastor I had years ago. His grandmother had lost a baby when she was a young woman. But on her dying bed, she looked up and she said, "I see Jesus and I see my baby." And she smiled and she went out to meet God. The joy of the Lord. It's real. We can have joy, unspeakable and full of glory in this life. Joy is stronger than happiness. Joy will sustain you. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. I ain't talking about a new house, a new car, a good job. I'm talking about something that's eternal. Eternal. There's some examples in the Word of God. I got to looking at this thing of joy and I found some examples. And you know, even heaven, in heaven there's great joy. The Bible teaches us in the book of Job at the creation of the world and when God laid the foundations of this whole world and the universe that we're in, the Bible says that the sons of God shouted for joy. The world was a beautiful place before the curse came, before man put his hands upon it. It was a beautiful thing. You'll find in Luke chapter number 2 that when the birth of Christ was announced, they said, "We bring you good tidings of great joy because unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And the angels begin to rejoice and praise God. We've got more to praise Him about. We've been forgiven and been born again. In Luke chapter 15, I want you to turn there with me just a minute. In Luke chapter number 15. In verse number 4, the Bible says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Joy. God rejoices when a sinner repents. I think God rejoices when we, if we get, go astray and we repent and turn back to God. I think there's joy in heaven. When a lost sinner repents and gets saved, there's joy in heaven. I think it brings joy to God. I'm talking about, those are just some examples of joy in heaven. But we're an example here as we journey through this life. Wonder what kind of an example we are. You know, I remember when I was a lost man, and I got around people that professed Christ. I was curious about them. I watched them. Little did they know it, but I wanted to see what they had that I didn't have. And you know what? If people look at us and they don't see that we have joy in what we believe and what we have professed and what we possess, what kind of an example are we setting? Now, if we go out every day and we rub shoulders with lost people, and we're down lower than dirt, and we never have any joy. What kind of an example are we setting before? I can remember my Aunt Dorothy Brown that used to sit here years ago in this church right here. When I was a kid, she was a great example to me. She always carried a smile. She always had something to say about Jesus. It was positive and good. And yet she had one of the meanest husbands that ever walked the face of this earth. Mean to her. But she had a joy in her Lord that nothing in this world could take away from her. She was a good example. A good light. I ask you again, what kind of example are you being each day to those around you? If people see that we are happy in Jesus and we have the joy of the Lord in our soul, that's a great testimony. Amen? Amen. Just to know that we don't have to die and go to hell ought to put a smile on our face. No matter what we're going through in this old life. The experience, the examples of joy, but the experience of joy. Bringing it down to you and I. Now, I've done said, you must be born again. You must have the Holy Ghost producing that fruit of the Spirit of joy within you, or you'll never know what joy is in this life. There is a fullness of joy that God would have us to have. God wants His people to have fullness of joy, and it only comes through His Son. I want you to turn with me to 1 John, chapter number 1. 1 John, chapter number 1. I'm talking about the fullness of joy right now. He said, in chapter 1, verse 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice what He says now. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. If you want fullness of joy, get full of Jesus. If you want fullness of joy, get full of the Word of God. Hey, I wonder about people that's never interested in this book, but they're interested in going to heaven. I wonder about folks that's never interested in church, but they say they're saved and going to heaven. Amen? Listen to me now. If you want fullness of joy, he just says, I'm writing these things to you that your joy might be full. We don't have to just experience joy once every month, once every 2 months, 3 months, or we're waiting on us to have a big blowout meeting and it just get out of the banks before we experience joy. No, no, no. God wants us to have joy all the time. And I think our problem, as I probably stated a while ago, we're looking for joy in all the wrong places. We're looking for joy in a big bank account, a big house, big shiny new car, just things of this old world. Well, I got news for you. Everything you see, everything that surrounds you in this old world is going to burn up. Hey, I believe I got one of these in my pocket right here. Yep, there it is. Matter of fact, I got two of them. $2. You know what people are doing nowadays? They're worshiping this. Worshiping this right here. The almighty dollar. You know, these things right here used to be backed by gold. Used to be gold certificates. You remember that? You know what backs us up now? You know what your dollar's worth? Nothing. Nothing. It's backed by the United States government. A government that's closing in on $23 trillion in debt. And by the way, I saw a breakdown the other day. If y'all work, any of y'all work in here? There's a few that works. I got news for you. Your share of this debt is approaching $200,000. That's what you owe. You're a citizen of this country, ain't you? The government of the people, for the people, and by the people, you owe $200,000. Your senators and your congressmen and all the big lawmakers up in Washington, they're running up a debt for you. And these things right here could go to nothing. Nothing. It's happened in other countries. And it's a sad thing to say, but our country's in a mess. Our country thinks it doesn't need God anymore. We're going to find out one of these days, though, who's in control. The fullness of joy. I'm talking about an experience of joy in our life. We can have a fullness of joy, but it'll only be through the Son, through the written Word, through the living Word of God. Get full of Him. Trust Him. Quit trusting in the things of this world to bring you joy. You can find happiness for just a little while in some of your things. I never will forget Brother Ken preached a message one time years and years ago. When your blessing becomes a burden. When your blessing becomes a burden. Some titles just stick in your mind. Boy, there's some things that we just lust after and we just got to have in life. Boy, if I could just get this. And then when you get it, boy, the shine's knocked off of it before you know it. And it becomes a burden. I remember I bought an old car one time. Man, that thing had chrome wire spoke wheels. Man, that thing was a doll. I parked it in my building, closed the door. It sat there 2 or 3 weeks. Went out there and got to looking at it. Got to looking at them wheels. Them things are starting to rust. I rubbed them things. I mean, it was a job rubbing them wire wheels out. Got them all polished up. 2 or 3 weeks later, they was rusting again. And it's just something every time I went out there about that thing just falling apart. My blessing doesn't become a burden to me. That's the way things of this old world will do you. It'll turn rotten on you. God's going to see to that. But then there's not only the Son's fullness, but sin's forgiveness. You know, sin breaks fellowship with God. Amen? Everybody that's been saved has probably been in that position before. I have. You can let sin creep into your life, no matter if it's a little sin or if it's a big sin. You can let it creep into your life. You can go to church and you can find out what it feels like to be the old boy out on the porch out there like the prodigal. You can miss the blessings of God because of sin. You're separated from God, from the fellowship of God, from worship. But I'm thankful that there is forgiveness. You can experience forgiveness because the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we, God will, if we'll confess. God loves mercy. God loves to forgive. God loves to restore. So we can experience joy through the Son's fullness, through sin's forgiveness. And we can experience joy through the sanctuary and the fellowship. We ought to enjoy coming to church. Amen. I mean, if we'd get prayed up in our life, if we'd get our heart right with God, and if we'd confess our sins, get in the Word of God, and we'd pray like we ought to, when we come to church, things would pick up. I believe there'd be times when you come to church, friend, that God put a testimony on your heart. He'd put something burning down in your soul or where you just couldn't do nothing but worship Him and give Him glory and praise. If you just count your blessings. Fellowship in the sanctuary. Over in the book of Ezra. I want you to look there with me just a minute. In the book of Ezra, chapter number 3. In Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 10. We know that these people at this time, they'd been in exile 70 years, and now God had allowed them to come back home to their country, to their homeland, to rebuild the temple and to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. The Bible says, "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. They sang together by course, in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites, chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy." They was glad to be at the house of God. They was glad to see God working in their lives and restoring to them the things that they had lost. Shouldn't we be the same way when we come to the house of God? We got something to shout about, haven't we? Amen. We've got something to praise God about, I believe. In the book of Nehemiah, the next book over, chapter number 8. Look at this right here. Chapter number 8. All the people had gathered together as one man in the street was before the water gate. They spake unto Ezra the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And the Bible goes on, tells us he read there in the street that day for many hours there. And the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And the Bible goes on and tells us that the people wept and when they heard the words of the law. And then in verse number 10 it says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You won't have nothing to shout about if you ain't got joy down in you. If you ain't got the joy of the Lord is your strength. If we just get a hold of God, what He's done for us in our life. I think we'll have worship like we've never experienced before. Psalm 16 and 11. Psalm 16 and 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I want us to have joy. I don't want us to have happiness. I want us to have joy. It'll change your worship. It'll change your day. It'll change you when you lay down at night. It'll change you when you rise up in the morning. The sun's fullness, sin's forgiveness, the sanctuary's fellowship, but the securing of our future. We can have joy knowing that our future is secure. Do you know that you know that you know? If you left this old world today, where you'd be? Do you know? Luke chapter number 10. In Luke chapter 10, here's some words that Jesus spoke. He'd sent His disciples out. When they returned to Him, they said, "Well, Lord, even the spirits, the devils are subject to us when we speak through Your name, Lord." And Jesus said, verse 19, He said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Notice what He says. "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Security. A future that is secure. If you're a child of God, then nothing can separate you from the love of God. Never, never, never. Joy. The examples of, the experience of, but then there's the enemy of our joy. Three things, and I'll be through here. The enemy of joy is number one. The number one enemy of my joy in the Lord is me. Self. Self. And when I read Revelation chapter 3 and the Laodicean church age, it wakes me up. It makes me examine myself and see if I fall into the category of that Laodicean spirit. Having need of nothing. I'm rich. I'm increased in goods. But I ain't rich. Now, I ain't saying that about me. That's what the Bible says. The mindset of the people. You know, we got more today. Think back at you. Those of you that's got elderly grandmothers and grandfathers. Maybe living or maybe passed on. That didn't really have nothing in this old world. Yet, They were probably happier than we are today. They had Christ. Had Christ. They had something that hardships, that sickness and things of this old world couldn't take away from them. They had a better place that they were going to. But in the day and age that we live, we're in love with the world. Married to Christ, but in love with the world. Watch out for yourself. Watch out for success. Watch out for your stuff. Don't go running after stuff of this old world because it's going to burn up. And you know, when you get successful and when you begin to gather things of this old world, you'll get lifted up in pride. You get a better house, you get a better job, you get a better car, you get a bigger bank account. Pride goes before destruction. Be careful. Be careful of yourself. You're one of your biggest enemies. Be careful of sin. Be careful about sin. The devil knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. And I remind you that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. There's a payday. David, King David said in Psalms 51, "Lord, my sin is ever before me." David was a miserable man. He asked the Lord, "Restore unto me the joys of thy salvation." He lost his joy because of sin. It'll do it to you and me too. And let me tell you, we're all capable. We're all capable. Because we're flesh. The enemies of our joy, self and sin and situations. There's things that come to us in life that'll knock the heart out of you. Amen? It will. It'll break your heart. But I look to God's Word in the book of Psalms, chapter number 30, where He says, "Weeping may endure the night, but joy cometh in the morning." Joy cometh in the morning. He didn't say it might come in the morning. He said it's a coming. It's coming. There's some things we'll have to endure in this life. But I'm glad there's a joy that the Lord said's ours. He can provide it. And I'll close with one more little passage right here in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 12. Verse 3, he says, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. The saved of the earth, the saved of the Lord, has a joy that's available." And I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to just get filled with God. Get back to enjoying God. Amen? The pleasures of this world are going to leave you empty. Gonna leave you hurting. Gonna leave you disappointed. But the joys of the Lord are eternal, everlasting. Amen. I appreciate you being